time for taking care of business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a very good evening to you all. It's Tuesday the 19th of July. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Well, tonight's show is crammed full of entrepreneurial spirit. You're going to hear from the Managing Director of Waterland Private Equity Ireland. They use a buy and build strategy in this country to take majority stakes in SMEs with turnover of between 2.5 and 50 million euros. They recently took over a majority stake in Mullingar's Ritech Group too. And a number of new acquisitions have happened over the past couple of months. So MD Laura Dillon will be along to discuss Waterland's vision and values and the entrepreneurial flair in the Midlands. Also, TappyTag are based in Athlone. They have a product that will eliminate paper or cardboard business cards with a very simple but highly effective tech solution. CEO Mark Gibbons will be along here shortly to talk about the startup business, why they chose Athlone as their location, and to tell you how you can revolutionise the way that you engage with clients and indeed pass out your contact details. Lots more to come. I'll have everything that's hot across the Midlands. And so, what's hot across the Midlands lately? Well, pretty much everything. Nobody seems to have slept last night, which is good, but my first two guests are sitting in front of me in studio now and they look very well rested. I don't need to get much sleep anyway because they're two extremely busy people. Back to them in just a second, though. If you want to get in touch with me here in the studio tonight, you can do, as always, on the Midlands 103 text and WhatsApp number. That's 083 3010 103. Text, WhatsApp, send me a voice message, whatever suits you. That, of course, is powered by the home of Offaly's top-selling car brand, Lamb Brothers Toyota, on the Arden Road, Tullamore. Get busy, get texting. Hopefully your fingers aren't too sweaty and stuck to the phone tonight at all that clammy heat that's out there. We have had the aircon on here this evening and it has helped a small bit, so time to crack ahead. The man sitting in front of me was in studio with me just over a year ago. It's about a week more than a year. And at the time, the government had just announced that indoor dining was going to be held back for another 3 weeks. Now, at the time, if you can just take yourself back to that year ago, lots of people in the hospitality sector, restaurant owners, cafe owners, they were really now devastated by that news. To some people, it sounded like only 3 weeks, but to these people, they had been so long, you know, being prevented from doing what they did best, having people in their restaurants, in their cafes, dishing out good food, good locally sourced food made from the best of ingredients. And this 3 weeks, I think the real kind of concern was that the 3 weeks could become 3 months, could become 6 months, or who knows where it went. Thankfully, these restaurants did get back open. But one thing for sure is it hasn't dampened the endeavour or the spirit of Pádraig Brown. Now, Pádraig, as you know, is part of the Brown Group and they're the owners of the fabulous Browns on the Green in Turtles Pass, more recently Browns Bistro in Tullamore. And I say it hasn't dampened his spirit at all. They've just opened Browns, the venue in Tullamore. So I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Pádraig Brown himself and somewhat reluctantly by his daughter, but the head chef in the venue, Mary Jo. Very good evening to both of you.
Good evening, Ronan.
Pádraig, you kind of, I think about 2.5 years ago, you were telling me with MJ Cleary on the farming show one night, you kind of you set out your objectives and your vision for what you were going to do. How did the venue form part of that and how did it come about in the first place?
I suppose we opened Turtles Pass in 2016, Ronan, and about 5 years on to it, I suppose, a couple of years ago, we felt that we had a good product in place and were getting a lot of support and good feedback from our customers. And we felt that we were ready to take the next step. And at the time, we talked about looking at a location in Mullingar and it didn't come off. And I suppose last February, 12 months, I was driving through the town of Tullamore. We live out in Dorra, so Tullamore is our town. And I saw what used to be Mad Clothing with a for lease sign on top of it. And I contacted the auctioneer. And to make a long story short, I suppose last year in February was a pretty gloomy time at the time, but I just loved the look of the building. And within a couple of days, we had done a deal with Seamus Kane, the owner of the building. And we opened it in the last days of September of last year. And I suppose to bring it on a step further, why why did we open the venue? I suppose we had and got a great reception in Tullamore for the Bistro. Unbelievable, I would say, since the day we've opened. It's been busy, busy all the time and getting really good feedback from the people at Tullamore. And we're so grateful for them, for their support on it. And then sometime the end of between Christmas and the New Year, I think Seamus Cain had bought what was the Wolf Trap, and he came to me and he said, I want to have a cup of coffee. And first week in January, we had a bit of a chat amongst ourselves, Deirdre Coyne, our general manager, and the family, and we'd probably have liked it hadn't happened for another year, but look, things like this happen and you have to just put your hand up or not. And we felt that if we didn't put it up, we'd always regret it. So we just, you know, we put our hand up. And yeah, thankfully, we had a soft opening last week and opened on Thursday.
And it was a 250,000 euro investment in it. What differentiates it then? Is it a slightly different venue than your other places, or what's the kind of selling point of it?
We feel we want it to be somewhere that families can come in early in the evening with their kids and have a very casual dining, high-end casual dining food, but food that the kids like eating, hot dogs, pizzas, families, the parents, high-end burgers that we do, steaks, lots of options, lots of vegan options. And we want after that for people that come in that they'll have a nice piece of food and that they will have nice cocktails and some nice drinks. And then we have live music on a Saturday night. And we're hoping that it'll be a one-stop shop for everybody. So when they come in and sort of enjoy the decor and what we've done, that they will, we hope that they will stay with us for the evening when they come in. That's our plan and our strategy, I suppose. But look, the customers will decide what happens. But we've put a lot of thought and effort into it. And we feel it's a good venue. And as I said, we opened it softly last weekend. And we've got, if anybody was there, we got an extremely good feedback and a good reception about. So thankfully, so far, it's all good. So we're opening our second week on Thursday.
And because the last 2 years with what it did with nightclubs and that, but it certainly robbed the Midlands and the country at large of a lot of, you know, decent late night venues too. So it's great to see these new places opening again. Mary Jo was head chef there. What's it like for you? I know now, despite your young years, you've been working side by side with this man for a couple of years, but how do you add your own kind of artistic flair to it? And what do you bring when it comes to creating the menus and the foods that Pádraig speaks about?
Well, I suppose that all came in when we were planning the menu. So it was important to pick the right options that would suit like everyone, our target audience. And then along with the help of Cormac, we just make it happen, really. Get it sent out and make everyone happy.
Because that whole thing of sourcing your ingredients is also an area that you're both very passionate about as well. I mean, that whole idea of farm to fork is something that you've widely spoken about in the past, Pádraig, and it's something that you want to try and continue as well with the likes of the venue. So how does that go? As a farmer yourself, how do you go about kind of completing that circle or that loop?
Well, I suppose my son Sean is the farmer and he looks after the farms. But yeah, look, from my, I suppose, history and experience in the meat business, it was something we're so passionate about. And everybody talks about the farm to fork piece, but not everybody can actually make it happen. And we feel that we have the expertise to make it happen. And when we have our own, in the past, when we've had our own lamb and beef in the restaurant in Turles Path, we've always got a fantastic reception for it and great feedback from our customers. So I suppose that gave us the, I suppose that egged us on to go on to the next level and to go forward with it. So by the end of this year, we will be, all our beef in the three restaurants will be coming from our own farms and all our own lambs. So, yeah, while the restaurants seem to be expanding rapidly at the minute, the farm is actually expanding at the same pace. But farming for us is like some people's golf. We get a kick out of walking out the field with the animals and doing the bits and pieces, and it clears your head and it gets you away from, I suppose, the day-to-day business of the restaurants and all the, I suppose, sometimes stress that brings. And it's a great refresher to go out and land early in the morning and walk through the cattle. And we get serious satisfaction from doing that.
And knowing that ultimately that's what you're serving up to the customer as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Mary Jo, is it important for your customer, do you think, that provenance and knowing that it's farm to fork, or are people becoming more aware of it these days?
Yeah, I think so. Like, more people are aware of where the food comes from and how it's sourced, and organic seems to be a big way to go these days. So it's all about the fresh ingredients and produce and supporting local.
Excellent, yeah, and I suppose you can see that as well by taking the punt in this venture too. When it comes to it, like when you first had the idea for it, I'm going to ask you the terrible business question, but things like energy prices and costs have gone through the roof. At any stage did you think about, whoa, this has now gone way bigger than I was expecting initially, or how is it for somebody like yourselves that is running a restaurant business?
Look, you can find 100 reasons, Ronan, why you shouldn't do something or why you can't do something. But to be honest, if you want to make something happen, and I suppose you have the vision to do it, we felt that of course there's inflation, there's serious price inflation at the moment in ingredients, the serious inflation in energy prices and all of that. But look, it's not going to be like that forever. And I suppose from my point of view, 4 kids, 3 of them are full-time involved in the business. So we've got Patricia in the bistro, who looks after the bistro, with Claudia. Claudia's our head chef in the bistro. And Sean in the farm. And even at the weekends when Carol, our youngest, is involved. At the end of the day, for me, it's about, would I be doing it if all the family weren't involved? No, I don't think I would. But I think, you know, they've really put their support behind it and put their energy into it. At the end of the day, it's about having a legacy for them and something for them to build on in the future. But to answer your question, yeah, everything is challenging at the moment, but it won't always be challenging. And I think if you put a good offering in front of people at the moment and you give a decent offer and at a fair price, people seem to be responding well to it. And that's our strategy for the long term. We're not going out to pass on prices that are all being charged to us. We're there for the long haul, and we're taking the long term vision on it, and we think it'll work out okay in the end.
And it's also so important, and it must be said, like, to see two what were vacant properties in the heart of Tullamore now been rejuvenated, reinvented and reopened again.
Yeah, look, Tullamore's a fantastic town. They're fantastic people in the town. And if we can, in some small way, I suppose, have a nice offering for the people of Tullamore where they're getting, a pleasant experience from, that only drives us on further. And, you know, I suppose the venue is a landmark building in Tullamore, and to see it there unoccupied with the last number of years, it was definitely something that everybody wanted to see changed, and we're just happy to be able to do it. And we hope we'll see lots of people around the area in the next number of months coming and enjoying the venue and seeing what we have to offer.
I think that goes without saying anyway. We're looking for now, Porrig and Mary Jo Brown. Thanks so much for popping in as well. All the very best with the new venture.
Thank you very much.
We'll patiently wait and see what comes next from you as well.
Thanks, Ron, and I appreciate it.
Brown's at the venue there, just opened in Tullamore, of course, right there beside Brown's Bistro in Tullamore. And of course, they also manage and own the Brown's on the Green in Turtles Pass. Stay tuned. After break, we're going to check in with the Managing Director of Waterland Private Equity Ireland. You might know that name. They took a majority shareholding in the Ritech Group last year, and their investment in Irish SMEs continued. They're particularly interested in family businesses, and indeed business that really showed an entrepreneurial flair. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, of course, on Midlands 103. Big thanks there to Porrig and Mary Jo Brown, my guests on with me there before the break. And I have to say, their venues sound fantastic. Definitely worth checking out there. And that theme of family businesses continues to some extent, because you remember late last year, the world-renowned now Ritech Group in Mullingar, Waterland Private Equity Ireland, bought out a majority shareholding in the company. Of course, it was originally founded by the Wrights and now run by their sons, Ted and Alan. It has become one of the world leaders in terms of fire safety and fire suppression equipment, all coming from Mullingar, and has been a major success story of acquisitions, of expansion, with both European and global exports currently undergoing. But the role that Waterland Private Equity played in that deal was well publicised at the time too. And whilst people might sometimes think of private equity investment companies and think of people who sit, you know, in some faraway countries and are just looking at numbers, the approach that Waterland take is entirely different to that. And it goes further than just Ritech as well. They've taken majority shareholdings in a number of extremely well-performing Irish companies. And there's kind of a central team to those type of companies too. So to try and find out exactly what that is, I'm delighted to be joined by the Managing Director of Waterland Private Equity Ireland, Laura Dillon. A very good evening, Laura. How are you?
Hi, good evening, Ronan. Lovely to chat to you this evening.
I suppose, Laura, we'll go back, maybe just a quick introduction to Waterland and indeed to the Irish operations, if you could.
Thank you, Ronan. Yeah, Waterland is a pan-European private equity fund that I set up here, the Irish office, back in March 2020 as we went into the COVID pandemic. But we've been around for 23 years. We're a pan-European firm. We now have 12 offices in 10 European countries. And we're delighted to be here in Ireland partnering with Irish businesses. We typically invest in growing markets, and we like to support family-run companies, entrepreneurs, business owners, management teams, to really help them accelerate the growth of their businesses. And largely that's through international expansion and through M&A, through helping Irish businesses remain headquartered here, but helping them to buy businesses internationally and really make Irish businesses into European leaders.
And that really came to the fore there recently with Ritech in particular, because it wasn't just the investment. As you mentioned, there's been a number of mergers and acquisitions too, right up to the CE Sprinkler recently. So how do you then go about scoping out the companies you're looking for? And I guess, how do you make that initial approach to a company, and particularly one that's family owned and family managed?
Yeah, I mean, we're spending a lot of time all around Ireland. We really like to get out there and chat to different businesses in different sectors. We typically look at markets. So, for example, Ritech is obviously in the fire safety market. We've just invested in MTM Engineering, which is in the power cabling market, serving data centers. We also have Silverstream, which is in the nursing home market. So we're really very, very broad. We look at businesses right through, from technology companies through to healthcare businesses, through to businesses, you know, in supply chains, into pharmaceutical companies, data centers, right through to manufacturing and engineering businesses. And, you know, it's a lot of shoe leather. We like getting out there, meeting people. Sometimes people approach us, but many times we literally will research a market and then contact a company and see if they're interested in having a discussion with us. And, you know, sometimes that works out, that people are open to a partnership with us. But Ronan, we're not the right partner for everybody. There's many, many family-run companies and Irish businesses out there that don't want a partner like us, and that's fine too. But what we typically find from a conversation, we all typically learn something which can be very beneficial for everybody.
Are Irish businesses and SMEs, and I guess family-run SMEs in particular, are they now more aware and indeed more ready for a potential sale, or is it just that the rare few that maybe are in that position where they become attractive for a company such as Waterland?
Yeah, so I think we certainly see incredibly entrepreneurial businesses here in Ireland, you know, and particularly down in Westmeath and Laois and Offaly. I think there's a huge amount of entrepreneurial drive, and Irish people work hard. So I think that, you know, I think that we certainly see that some people are keen on that partnership. We don't typically, you know, go for full buyouts. We typically want to help the existing businesses to grow with us. And that means that they get to cash out, they de-risk their own personal financial position, they get to diversify, but they come on the journey with us where we're supporting them. We've kind of got a broad set of shoulders. We'll, of course, supply capital, but we'll also supply resources. We have 12 offices in 10 countries. We can really help with on the ground, you know, identifying opportunities in Germany, up in the Nordics, over in Holland, in Belgium, over in Poland, in the UK. And it's really about, you know, working together as a team where we can use our M&A capabilities to help accelerate the growth of Irish companies. And, you know, obviously that means that we all need to upfront have a shared ambition and really discuss and get to know each other well and figure out, do we all trust each other? And also, do we have that shared ambition and same drive to really want to accelerate the growth of the company and scale internationally?
And you mentioned there, like, the various maybe sectors or the type of industry that a particular business may be in. At what point do you start scoping out potential M&As then across Europe or beyond? Is that before you approach the original kind of the parent company, for want of a better word? Or is it just that you've identified a sector that particularly has a lot of growth potential and a lot of good return on it then, and you put the scouts out all across Europe then to find suitable partners?
Yeah, you're dead right, Ronan. Even before we probably approach, you know, the Irish company, we'll have already done market maps, not only of companies and the market in Ireland, but also throughout many European countries. So we'll be spending a lot of time up front to really determine, you know, okay, what does the market look like in Ireland? What logical businesses might there be in Germany or the Nordics or in Holland or Belgium or France or Spain to go with this Irish business? Does that make sense? Do we have any insights? Have we looked at the market before? Because we've been investing across Europe for 23 years, we've already partnered with businesses in many, many sectors, and we have industry experts, we have insights, we have connections with a lot of different businesses across Europe, and we really look to try and leverage that. So when we're going to then talk to the Irish companies, we can say, listen, you know, if you are interested in this kind of, you know, becoming a leading independent business in your sector in Europe, then we can help to do that. So in many instances, even before we make the investment in the Irish business, we'll already have offers out to other companies in Europe. So very, very quickly, we're already trying to help to accelerate the growth and start that buy and build opportunity. And indeed, in some instances, within weeks of closing the original platform, we'll indeed be close to closing add-ons for those Irish companies.
What might surprise listeners is, you know, as a private equity company, that you're investing in companies there that are very much dependent on raw materials and therefore subject to price inflation or any sort of volatility or supply chain issues that might come around that. Does that set you apart from maybe similar equity companies in that you're actively tackling companies like, say, the likes of Ritech and obviously MPM Engineering? Or is that just you've identified again, it's just the right sector with the right growth potential?
Yeah, I think we have a very diversified portfolio of companies across Europe. We have over 80 businesses at the moment, and I think that gives us a very good insight into which markets, which subsegments, you know, you can pass that inflation through on. So we do look a lot at markets, you know, Ritech and indeed MTM are quite focused on data centers, but Ritech's also focused on pharmaceutical and other commercial areas. And we certainly feel that, you know, we look at growing markets, we look at businesses that have good margins, but also markets that are fragmented throughout Europe and indeed beyond into the US and Asia. And if we say it's a growing market, there's decent margins in the business, there's good cash flow conversion, and there's a fragmented market, then we kind of say maybe we're the right partner to help complete this buy and build. Give you an idea, Ronan. We literally have companies not only from fire safety to nursing homes to power cabling as we have here in Ireland, but we have a very large private label pet manufacturing business. We do we're the largest technology investors in the Benelux. We do a lot of healthcare in Germany, right through to businesses you might not expect private equity to invest in. Indeed, we have a very large equestrian business called the Global Equestrian Group, which is headquartered in Denmark, but now with very large operations in the US as well as Germany, and we're continuing to expand that business. We have a business that organizes live events. We do a lot of consulting-type businesses. So we really are very, very broad, and we look at each market individually.
If anyone's listening at the minute, at one of those businesses across the Midlands, somebody who's displayed that entrepreneurial flair that Irish businesses seem to do and display so well, and they're beginning to look at how they might, you know, significantly grow their company and begin to kind of scope out international markets, what type of things should they be considering and actively looking at in order to get themselves to that point where they're ready to exploit whatever market might be there, or indeed be open for investment from the likes of Waterland?
Yeah, I think great question, Ronan. Should be prepared from a financial perspective. I think that's always very, very helpful to make sure everyone has their ducks in a row. But I think really thinking about what makes them differentiated and unique, what makes their business stand out from other businesses, I suppose, that they compete against. I think it's also very important to be very transparent and direct. You know, we like to take a very transparent approach. You know, we're very clear with people if we think we are the right partner, but we're also very clear on if we think we're not the right partner, but maybe we know someone else who is. So I think, you know, I think it's very important to have conversations early on, and we're certainly very, very keen to speak to businesses down in Westmeath and Leash and Offaly and Meath. And I think it's you know, I think it's really important to at least understand what private equity has to offer. And as I say, it's right for some people, it's not right for others. But what we always find is, you know, the conversations are very fruitful and can lead to either good conversations for the business owners, entrepreneurs, where we may be correct or else maybe maybe it's that maybe we can point them in the direction of someone else. So I would say that people should just be open to exploring the opportunity, but also be very open, transparent, direct. If people would end up completing due diligence, all of these things complete in a diligence process and well become done at pace early on.
Apologies, Laura, the line has just dropped off in quality at the minute, but I think we've got the main points there. If you're back with us, Laura, I'm just going to say a goodbye to you, but thank you so much for coming on this evening. And I guess the proof is always there in the pudding as well. If people just look up the success and what it's brought to Reitec as well in terms of the investment from Waterland Private Equity, it speaks for itself too, and look and just keep a watch on that space for terms in terms of more M&As going forward. But for now, Laura Dillon, the Managing Director of Waterland Private Equity Ireland, thank you so much for coming out with me this evening.
Thank you very, very much, Ronan.
And there you go. So again, as Laura says, it may not be for every company, but it's there, and it could be absolutely worth that conversation or scoping out, because it's propelling a lot of companies to international success and has really opened up new markets, new partnerships, and indeed new opportunities for mergers and acquisitions there too. So Waterland Private Equity Ireland, you'll check them out there. You'll find their website online and you can check out all the various details there. Thank you for Laura for joining me this evening. Time for a short break now. Going to put the aircon on again for a few minutes, hopefully. And after that, in studio, I'll be joined by Mark Gibbons, the CEO of TappyTag, fantastic new business headquartered in Athlone that is going to eliminate paper and card business cards once and for all, with a very simple, very effective tech solution. Do you know where your business cards are? Do you remember those things we used to carry around with us years ago, back before you know what? I had to go looking for mine just the week before last. I was going to a conference up in Dublin and I had to go searching, and I found them in the attic eventually, because we hadn't given them out for 2.5-3 years, because number one, you couldn't give them to people because you couldn't physically pass a piece of paper or card because you were standing 2 meters or more away from them. But then you just weren't at any business conference or anything like that. But the business card is effectively, or could be, entirely eliminated. Remember what it was, and forget that now, because there's a new technology solution, and it is being developed. It has been developed by an Athlone company called TappyTag. That's TappyTag. It was co-founded by Mark Gibbons, John McHugh and Ivan Eustace. And they basically provide wooden digital business cards or kind of any material that you would like. And they team it or term it as being the ultimate sustainable tool for individual startups, SMEs, large corporates and retail. Time to dig a little bit deeper. I'm joined by CEO and one of those co-founders, Mark Gibbons, in studio now. Mark, how did you come up with the idea for TappyTag, and when did it all start?
Well, it started, great to be here actually, Ronan, and thanks for having me. We were at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas back in 2020. We'd been traveling back and forth to that show for a number of years. And I was constantly getting sick of carrying around a bundle of business cards and a bundle of product brochures from different brands. The big problem was not many of those business cards were making it into my phone. So, and that's what we obviously want to achieve when you make a new connection of connecting, being able to send an email straight away or connecting with a phone call. So on the flight home, myself and the two lads, John and Ivan, there we just said, look, there has to be an easier way. There has to be a better solution there. So TappyTag was born after that. So. We seen that NFC technology was already in the market in terms of being used on a number of different bits, like your bank card, and that you could tap your bank card off a terminal and make a financial transaction. What a TappyTag is, it has the same technology. It's the same NFC chip inside of our business cards. But when you tap it off a mobile phone, an iPhone or Android, it shares information rather than let's say a financial transaction. So you share your TappyTag profile. On your TappyTag profile, it holds your contact details, all of your social media details, your websites, your Revolut, your PayPal, links to your Amazon page. Pretty much anything that has a URL link, you can store on your TappyTag profile. And the really great thing about it is it's always updatable. So you can update it at any time. So you're never out of date. Which is obviously a problem with paper business cards that you mentioned it yourself. You have to go into the attic.
Yeah. They come in minimum order quantities of 2,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
But suppose just for listeners' benefit, I actually have in my hand at the minute a TappyTag. So it's the same size as your conventional business card. It is equally as thin, because I know Mark mentioned like a chip inside it. You cannot see anything on it. It's a piece of wood. It has my name on the front and it has what looks like a QR code on the back. Very discreet, very you know, very svelte, you know, very lean. Actually, if somebody found it, they may not know what it was. So just when you get the idea of, like, don't have an idea of this kind of clunky piece of technology. It's very lightweight, fits in the wallet, fits in the pocket, and that effectively does as a business card for me going forward. How did you come about actually developing it then, Mark, like, and setting on the size, the format, getting that technology inside the card?
Yeah, well, I suppose the size of a business card is, it's, people know it from over the years that they've used, let's say, paper cards. What TappyTag does, it gives you the ability to replace all of those paper cards. So we thought of keeping the same size, keeping the same format. We also have our phone tags. So it's the exact same technology, just in a small tag that sits on the back of your phone. It can sit under your case or it can pop onto the back of your case. But what we needed to develop was that kind of software solution that, once you tap your card, that it will lead to. So somewhere that can hold all your information safely, securely. We work with Amazon, so we're based on an AWS platform, and that's out of Dublin, which is quite good. It's obviously, security is key. Functionality is really key, and how quick everything loads up, because it is loading up on your phone. That's obviously key. For us, when you connect with somebody, you've got a couple of seconds to kind of make an impression. With TappyTag, you're probably going to need 20 minutes after you tap, because people are going to wonder, how did you do that? How does that work with the card? So it's quite good.
As I can vouch for myself, because at that conference in Dublin last week, a guy, Patrick Cantwell from Guaranteed Irish, was just happened to be sitting beside me, and he pulled out his TappyTag, and I kind of went, because I'd just seen a piece on LinkedIn the week before about you opening in Athlone as well. Yeah. Just to take us back a bit, yourself and your co-founders, you're not novices in the kind of tech business by any means, no. Or in startup as well. Can you give us a brief background to yourselves, and then I suppose and how you got this TappyTag to startup?
Yeah, sure. So like tech, we love tech. That's our baby. So we worked in a company called TNS Distribution. The two other co-founders, John and Ivan, they actually own the company. So we would have distributed brands like Beats by Dre, GoPro, Sennheiser, any kind of real tier one high end brands into Apple across the world, and into all kind of big box retail, then all across Europe and the States then as well. So that was our kind of background in terms of our love for tech. So we're always looking out for kind of the next big thing or how we can simplify a problem right now. So obviously TappyTag it ticks a lot of boxes for us in terms of tech, sustainability, and helping out companies move to more, obviously, a digital, more sustainable platform.
When you mentioned the word technology, automatically we start thinking of data as well. Yeah. Is there an opportunity as well for, say, companies that could have hundreds or thousands of these tappy tags mm-hmm. in use with their staff as well? Can you actively track then and see how often it has been used and downloaded? Like, it's creating a whole new data set that could be quite useful for even a sales team.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've early last year we developed TappyTag Corporate. So it's also within the TappyTag family. So what TappyTag Corporate gives you is a full management system. So we're working with the likes of, let's say, Deloitte at the moment. So obviously they have a lot of staff. They can log into their management system at any time, make changes to all their staff's profiles, deactivate cards if somebody leaves, update their staff's profiles if somebody gets a promotion. So obviously, it's a big cost-saving measure. But we also have built-in user analytics. So they can see how many taps they're doing as a company, how many taps the individual is doing. They can see the location of the taps on a country level. So if you're at a trade show in the States, you can filter down, you can and see how many taps you've done in the States between a certain date or a certain period, which is obviously a really good feature when it comes to big corporate companies who are obviously looking to see what they're getting out of their cards, and that's obviously important. We also, with that corporate plan then as well, we have, I'd say this is an exclusive for you, but we have a CRM system then coming down, probably about 6 weeks away, I'd say. So What we want to achieve is somebody taps the card, they can follow that full journey from tapping your card to meeting a potential client or a potential sales opportunity, and then following that sales journey from the moment you meet the person to the time you close it. So obviously you meet somebody normally at a trade show or an event, chances are sometimes something might get missed along the way. So we're thinking with this, with our TappyTag CRM system, that's going to give you a much better chance of closing a sale, And growing your client base then as well.
And that's kind of leading, actually, my question was going to be, just before you went into that announcement of what's coming in 6 weeks' time, was if you have two people from different companies who then use a Tappy tag, can that data then collate so that you can obviously record, well, that's who I actually met and who I was with as well, just to make sure that you know, well, I've got a contact on my phone, that's who it is.
So right now, actually, it has that functionality right now. So when you tap your card, there's a Connect with Me button, which means that you can share your details with the person you've just tapped. But there's also a Share Your Contact Card then as well. So there's a two-way connection. They can share their details straight away back with you. That will be captured by CRM. And the other thing as well is we are linking into other CRM systems like Salesforce, and we've an open API for our system, which allows you to receive info and send info then as well. So we're working with a number of companies on that in terms of integrations with their system and our system.
And there's also other kind of quite simple product extensions there too, like asset management tags for equipment and even for tags for pets.
Yeah, would you believe I got a dog during lockdown. I got a dog during lockdown, and It was one of those light bulb moments where I said, actually, Tappy Tag could work for pets here. So that's been really good. We're working with Woody's, obviously our direct to consumer site. We're working with Amazon then as well, which is great. But yeah, our asset management side of things is going quite well for us there. In terms of the asset management, we're working with Irish Waterways there at the moment. So and we're tagging their pretty much all their small plant assets. So the likes of their drills, their lawnmowers, their chainsaws, all that sort of stuff. So that's due to roll out there over the next little while. So it's been a busy year and a half since we started, which is great.
It sounds like when you mentioned the likes of Deloitte and Irish Water as well, you're not talking about small numbers of people
No.
So what's the Gerry? Do you class yourselves as still startup at this stage? You know, are you a fully fledged company? Is it all private investment so far? Or are you using the likes of Enterprise Ireland or that for funding?
So we're self-funded, so we've done all this ourselves. It's been a roller coaster. Are we a startup anymore? I don't know what we are at the moment. And we're shipping to over 42 countries now.
Probably not.
I would say. But look, I think if we have that startup mentality, we'll always have it. That'll drive us on every day. We love working. We love growing this Tappy Tag. Is one we really, really love to invest our time in and to grow. So long may that continue.
You've made a significant statement of intent by headquartering yourselves in Athlone. What was the draw for Athlone?
A couple of things. I'm sure my girlfriend is listening, but she was one of them. I was planning on moving to Athlone. Well, we're going to build a house up here. That was always in the back of my mind, that do we travel to Dublin? What way do we do it? Do we set up in Dublin? But the more time I spent down at Lone, the more I kind of looked to say, okay, it's the perfect place for any company to set up. You've obviously got the college there, which gives you kind of access to kind of young staff, but who are extremely intelligent. They're hungry to learn. So we've took on a couple of staff then as well while we've been up here. Obviously, you've got Enterprise Ireland up here then too. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, Dublin is, I see it as kind of turning into a mini London, if that makes sense. It can be difficult. Startups can get swallowed up, whereas I think you have a little bit more, the pressure's off a little bit more if you, where we are in Athlone, in terms of our office space. It's just a really great place to be based. It's a really, really great, and that's coming from a Dub. It's a really great place to be based. So we're delighted to be up here.
Yeah, I think not too many listening would disagree with you on that one anyway, but So what does the future look like, say, for Tappy Tag in Athlone then? Like, if you're exporting to over 40 countries already, is it looking at creating employment, or will you have kind of software people distributed all across the world eventually?
Yeah, no, we definitely want to create jobs. So I think by the end of next year, we want to have, the plan is to have 10 plus people based out of Athlone. Probably our office needs to be a little bit bigger, I would say. But that's the plan. If we're not hitting that, we're not going to be happy. So There's tons of stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's going to be roles created. So we're definitely going to need extra bodies. Absolutely.
Sounds fascinating. As I was just saying to some of my colleagues here at the station before you came on, about the business, and they're all kind of going, wow, that sounds brilliant. And it's almost like, I can't believe somebody didn't think to start producing these earlier. But there's always that person as well. But for now, Mark Gibbons, co-founder and CEO of Tappytag, headquartered in Athlone. Thanks so much for coming over this evening and for putting up with the sweltering heat in the studio. I'll let you out now and get a breath of fresh air. But all the very best with the venture, and looking forward to hearing the continuing story of
that. Appreciate it. Thanks a million.
And if you want to find out more there, you can just look at Tappytag, TAPITAG.co online there and find out all the information you need about that as well. So it's available there to individuals, to corporates, to companies of any scale and size as well. And also can be used for tracking pets and power tools and all your assets that your company may own too. So very interesting times happening, and probably not surprised to hear that there's a CRM offering coming down the line, coming in about 6 weeks' time. Such is the scale of development there, the pace of development with them. So all the best to everybody involved. Stay tuned after break. We'll have a quick look around and see what's been happening across the Midlands from a business point of view over the past few days. As I told you, tonight's show was very much teamed around innovation, enterprise, entrepreneurial spirit, family companies too, and that has kind of really shone out there with Porrig and Mary Jo Brown at the start, from Browns on the Green and Browns Bistro, and now Browns the Venue in Tullamore. Following on then with Laura Dillon from Waterland Private, speaking about the opportunities that they can create for particularly SMEs, family-owned SMEs around the Midlands who really want to explore and expand into European and global markets. You also heard there from Mark Gibbons from Tappytag, a company headquartered in Athlone, who are currently exporting to over 40 countries globally as well. Fantastic stuff happening in the Midlands. As we say it every week here, don't I, on the show, that great things are happening. And it goes beyond just new ideas, new things. It's all also about trying to meet the current demands and tackle the current challenges that are out there. One of which is the whole idea around retrofitting and how construction has changed over the last number of years in terms of detailing and materials. Well, the government will move mountains to ensure an extended retrofitting apprenticeship program gets up and running in Offaly as soon as possible. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris was in the county yesterday to turn the sod on a new demonstration park for modern methods of construction at the National Construction Training Centre at Mount Lucas. It's expected to open in 2024. Ireland's first scaffolding apprentice is also being unveiled today, along with a multi-million euro expansion of the existing retrofitting training centre to increase capacity from 2,000 apprentices to 4,000. Minister Simon Harris couldn't confirm a date for the expanded programme, but says he is committed to increasing numbers in the construction industry.
We'll be moving mountains to get this done as quickly as possible, because I need to make sure there's 17,000 more people working in retrofitting to deliver on the government's climate action agenda. So there's already capacity in our training centres around the country, including in Mount Lucas, if you want to get trained in retrofitting. A lot of people listening might think retrofitting is a big, long course. It's not. It's actually 2 to 3 days on average for somebody who's already skilled in construction.
As well as training people up in construction, other challenges that are meeting many businesses out there, and indeed everybody across the country, is the whole issue of power and where we get our energy from. Well, good news as well this week that a UK company has come on board a major new energy project in the Midlands. The Midlands-based Lumclune Energy is constructing a 275-megawatt open-cycle gas turbine power plant on a 50-acre site near Rochford Bridge. VPI Holding Limited is now taking a 51% share in order to help finance the €500 million project. 400 jobs are to be created when construction starts in autumn 2023, followed by 25-plus permanent positions. The project was granted planning permission by Westmeath County Council, despite over 70 objections from local residents. Lumclune spokesperson John Gallagher says it's a much-needed facility.
It's very important in terms of delivering electricity for the country. There's a big risk because of the war in Ukraine and the general pressures on the electric system in Ireland of tightness of supply, and the government is determined to ensure that there is security for the population, whether you're a homeowner or a business owner.
And that whole thing around security of energy supply was something that a lot of us, let's be honest, thought we would never have to be kind of considering or dealing with. But these are the challenges that are out there. So we need these companies to go and look at alternative means for energy creation, energy storage as well, in order to reduce the dependence on fossil fuels and in particular gas that's coming from Western Europe. What's interesting about Lumclune as well is, as part of their CSR brief, they have been partnered there as well, and they've recently announced plans for Ireland's first ever centre of excellence for bees. And they were unveiled, and this was unveiled in the Midlands just yesterday. The Irish Bee Foundation is set to build a new facility at Lochbuara Boglands in Offaly, supported by Lumclune Energy and their Korean partners Hanwha Energy. President of the Federation of Irish Beekeepers Association, Paul O'Brien, says it'll be used as a teaching facility and visitor centre to promote the bee population.
We have about 4,000 beekeepers in the country, trying their best to keep their art and the hobby. Most of them are hobbyists, not a lot of them are professionals. And we produce about 7% of the domestic consumption of honey. That's about all we can supply. So the rest is imported. So there's a whole opportunity there for us to fill up that gap with the youth and get them involved.
Very interesting as well, and great to hear companies, you know, supporting their community group as well and putting a bit of money behind their CSR initiatives there too. So the Irish Bee Foundation, obviously delighted with that news as well, and developing Ireland's first ever Centre of Excellence for Bees. So there you go. You heard it first here on Midlands 103. As always, thank you for listening. Alex Rowe is here from 8pm with Country Road sitting in for Joe tonight. Stay safe. I'll talk to you all next week. And other than that, keep up the great work. Keep up the great stuff in this great region. Talk to you soon.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7pm with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.